everyone, and a Merry Christmas to all of you. We're so happy to be back again this morning here at the Tabernacle, to be with this lovely little group. Brother Grimm and I were just discussing in there matters that, Brother Bill, you got anything on your heart this morning? I said, just cry and say, man, that's all. We always have that, and so that's in common to us, that we have him. Got in late yesterday from Dallas, where we had one of the most glorious meetings. And the thing we've been praying for now is fixing to happen. It's already in session right now. That is for a nationwide revival. All the ministers yesterday, the last few days that's had any size and caliber minister or services, we met together at Dallas for this convention. And there was some 15, 18 ministers there that has a ministry that carries up anywhere between 3 and 15,000, maybe 20,000 people. Raymond T. Ritchie, for instance, and Bosworth, and Oral Roberts, and Jackson, and all those fellows there. Brother Jackson, the other night in his meeting, had 500 receive the Holy Ghost at one time.
Praise the Lord.
So that's just wonderful. And we all met together the other day on a working agreement for the year that we believe that God is here to do a work and a stirring the world has never seen before. I believe, friends, that we're just entering something wonderful. And these ministers who will probably have every night this next summer, if the Lord permits us, every night will be at least for anywhere from, to be 15 or 16, maybe more than that, big tent set that holds up to 8 and 10,000 people around the United States at the same time. Oh, we just got to have revival now. It's already in session. Hundreds and hundreds are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into the kingdom of God now. It's not something that we even look forward for a little later on, but it's already now. God's doing it right now. Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Graham. That's the thing that I always... Good, you know, Brother Graham and I work together so well. He's so tall and I'm so short, so...
He picks the low fruit and I get all the high fruit.
Sometimes I have to ask him to shake some down. Thank you, Brother Graham. I still haven't figured that out. The fire. We want it on the altar, don't we? Amen. Well, the other night we were studying thousands deep in there and all of them clapping their hands and praising God. We just had such a glorious time. We had fire right on the altar then. And we're very happy to announce this coming summer for the revival. Now I'll be with the church here with Brother Grimm and you all for the next 8 or 10 days, I guess, as far as I know. And want to be in every service that possibly can. Then we leave from there to the Houston, Texas, at the Coliseum. We've got a nice big building there that seats 17,000 people. And we're just expecting a great time. Tried to have all of us have a prayer line down there, but we just couldn't do it. One minister, one place, one another, the prayer line, but it just wouldn't work that way. And just Brother Jaggers had to go ahead and say another thing I want to announce. Brother Jagger stood and took the stand like we did at Calgary. The Missionary Baptist and the Free Will Baptist, and all, you know, Texas is full of Baptists. They stood for him, but the Fundamental Baptist rose up against the program. And all how they wrote him up in the paper and everything, well, they wrote him Bible questions, so he answered back, and they got actually had their own proof, then some bunch of political stand why they wouldn't put it in the paper. So Brother Jaggers, we called a meeting there, and 75 cooperating ministers of the city came in together. We took a photostatic copy of it and said, is this freedom of speech? Is this freedom of press? Like that, and sent it out. And the paper lost 10,000 subscribers the next morning. And they come crying on their knees that we're published in the paper just freely. You don't have to pay us a penny. Oh, brother, listen, you church. One time we lived down by the railroad track. We don't no more. We live on Hallelujah Avenue now.
Yes, sir.
We rank into the millions. We used to be as only a few hundred of us, but we go into the millions, millions now. And united together, we're the most powerful church in numbers there is in the United States. That's right. Or, I guess in the world. Last year alone, we had 1,500,000 conversions. Think of that. 1,500,000 conversions in the full gospel people. That is with the general orders last year. Oh, we're coming up now. And these little papers and things have been... They wouldn't talk about the Catholic people. They were afraid of it. See, they were afraid to do it. But we're numbering right on up there now. We got a right. Let's claim our God-given right.
That's right.
So we're going forward this year with God to be our help and our shield to cause it, try our best to have a revival. Now, up here. You all have to tell me when to stop. Up there. Right there. All right. I can walk out this way and look back. And so good. How many feels good for Christmas? Say amen. My. This is a time of rejoicing. The time of when all of us can come together and worship Christ. And I haven't got a message, not a thing. I just opened up the Bible here when he was talking there. Turned over here. I said, where's the birth of Christ? And everybody's talking about that now. So I'll just have to read a little while and then find something and just keep staggering along until the Spirit of the Lord picks up something. Now, to start, let's begin at Luke, the first chapter of Luke. That's the beginning of the birth of Christ. And we'll read some in here or just teach some on the Word if we can. We don't know what the Lord will do for us, but we just trust that He'll give us a great blessing. Say, I heard your broadcast. It was fine. Just keep it going. Keep it going. Preach the Word. Just tell him, Brother Grimm and them, if there ever was a time that Christians need one another, it's right now. Right now. Whatever you do, lay aside everything, because I believe by the grace of God, I'll just talk on that a little bit in a few minutes, that how we need each other right now. The great, I believe that we're facing, are you listening to me? All right. We're facing now looking at a great, this drama that's ever been set in all human history, working out here before us. The great field of the world here, and a drama that God is going to act out right now. That's startling to look around over the world and see how the thing is moving together. Oh, it's something fixing to happen, friend. This is what we've talked about and said about is right now here. It's already starting everywhere, breaking out. There's a great picture. I like the picture to you this morning. I see a lamb out the field of feed. The little fellow becomes nervous. He wonders. Look over in a reeds right behind him. I see a lion slipping up real easy. Pat his tail on the ground, getting his feet ready for a spring. That's the church out there in the field. The darkness of communism is pushing all over the world, closing in like a great shadow. And this is a law of contrast. Take like before day. It's always the darkest before day because the days of breaking pushing the darkness. And it's a law of contrast, you see, makes it the darkest before the day breaks. And we're in that same thing now. It's just the darkest before day. The great shadows of darkness is pushing in to fulfill the man of sin. Did you notice in this very Christmas time, all the communist countries are, instead of sending out the Christ in the manger, they sent out little books of Stalin, putting Stalin's picture on it. The man who opposes himself above all is called God, and so forth. Getting a great part of the world into his clutches. And another thing then, that all these, that's to fulfill the Scripture. And then again, I want you to notice another thing, one of the fulfilling. These people who are formal, and these formal churches, is rising up against the moon. And the Bible says they'd have a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And they're taking their stand. Communism is taking its stand. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is taking its stand. Yes, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then I'll raise up a standard against it.
Amen.
That's right. And the church has taken her stand. I mean the Holy Ghost Church. Now, that's all I'm interested in, friends. And I'm here. Out there, I'm praying for the sick. But in here, I'm interested in one thing, and that's God's born-again church. That's right. That's what I'm interested in anyhow. I'm not interested in bylaws and deacons and so forth like that, or orders of churches. I'm interested in the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the church for this day that we're living in.
Amen.
That's the fundamental part, and that's what we're looking for. Just a word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, move down this morning into our midst. Grant it, Lord, and may the Spirit of God take over the service. Bless the work here, Lord. Bless our brother, Brother Grimm. God, give him words of wisdom tonight at the radio broadcast. May he be able to shake the people by preaching the word. Grant it, Lord. May sinners weep Christ. If there be any unbelievers here this morning, or any that have not accepted Christ, may they come also. And now, start a revival in the hearts of the people this morning, Lord. May this be a renewing time, a time when the Spirit will be renewed. No, Father, we pray it this way. Come get us by the hand, each one of us. Walk us down this lane here. Show to us this great picture that's set in order here. Revealing your secrets to the saints' hearts this morning, that we might see what's out here just before. As we walk down then, Lord, in the armor of God, may we go as gallant soldiers to face the enemy. But how can we face him unless we know his tactics? And help us this morning to understand and show us the his foreground there so we'll know where to meet him, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the second chapter. Let's read this. And it came to pass that in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world that they should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went also up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, unto Judah, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days of her accomplishment, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now, just as a background, till we get up to a part of it that I would use this morning, all of you just let yourself be in the Spirit of the Lord. We're today all over the world is being celebrated the birth of Jesus, which now is just traditional. Jesus was not born on December the 5th or nothing like, or December the 25th. We know that's impossible. The hills of Judea was full of snow at that time, so how could it be that Jesus commonly by astronomers and so forth and by all of us born first around 1st of April, so when it's springtime. But this is a day which is all right, just set aside to worship in memorial of his coming to the world. One of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to the world was Jesus Christ, that we know that. And now I want to speak this morning upon his deity, who he is. So many had him a little baby laying out there in a cradle and so forth. Well, that was just one of the pictures, just one of the setting forth of the drama to bring it up to what he really is, his deity. And he said in the scriptures of his coming, he has been spoke of since the days of John, from back even into Genesis, it was prophesied that the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head, promising this child, Christ Jesus. And he's been that all the prophets, most every prophet that was ever wrote in the Bible spoke of his first and second advent when he has come to the world. Jesus comes three times. He came the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. He comes the third time with his church. Everything in the Bible travels in trinities, threes, but all in one Christ. He remember the first time to redeem his church, the second time to receive his church, the third time with his church as king and queen. Now, but on his first coming, we'll speak of just a little bit, and then on his being here, and then on his second coming, and then on the third time, if the Lord willing. Now, in these days, there was a great persecution against the church. Caesar Augusta had made a great plan that he'd tax all the people, and that was only done for one purpose, that God's great prophecy would be fulfilled. Only thing you have to do when you see something in the Bible that sounds just a little mystic and a little superstitious to you, just give God a little bit of time. God's in no hurry. We're the one gets in a hurry. Just give God just a little bit of time, and you'll see the old prophetic wheels, cogs run right up into the picture. It's developed. Just like the bringing up of a picture. Like someone was speaking the other day, that God What was he? One of his back under millions and millions of years ago when he was no, just like this space here. And then he gathered up into the Logos. And then he came from the Logos down into Christ. See, it's just God coming down like this to the earth, then going right back into God again. Don't you see what I mean? Just revolving, coming down from space, from eternity, rolling together, coming down into the Logos, and the Logos down into man, then returning right back again for one purpose, to redeem that man that had fallen. Now that's what he came for, to be a redeemer. And before God could be a redeemer, he had to be, according to the law, a kinsman redeemer. He had to be kinfolks to us. And God, in the beginning, made his first man. He made him out of spirit. And spirit is the invisible part of man that you don't see. Now, God made man in his own image. Are you listening to me? All right. God made man in his own image. And God is a spirit, says the Bible. And the first man that was made had the government over all the creation, just like the Holy Spirit has government over the church today. He led the creation. He led the animals. But there was no man to till the soil, so God made man out of the dust of the earth. And that man, he might have given him hands like a monkey. He might have given him feet like a bear. Whatever he did, he just threw it together and made a man. But this man, he put this immortal spirit that never dies into this man, and he became more than a brute. He became a man. Then this man here, that's what I think of atheists and some of them standing around arguing, but the hour has come when God shed forth his life. There's an hour here that when God's doing things. That's right. And so now when they argue, well, his feet look like a bear and his hands look like an ape or a monkey or so forth, and they try to say his origin comes out. That has nothing to do with this. This is a body of flesh that he's just living in like a house. It's going back to the dust of the earth, but the spirit is immortal. It comes from God. That's the image of God. God is a spirit. That man lost his origin in the Garden of Eden. His relationship, communion with God, was cut off there because of sin and unbelief. Unbelief in what? The Word of God. A picture was painted one time to Eve and told her how much brighter it would be if she just discard the Word of God. Look over here to reason. You can't. There's a difference between reason and God's Word. God's Word is true. Reason's false. You can't reason out nothing. That's right. Our mind is not good enough or never will be to fathom God's eternal wisdom. And therefore, you can't reason it. You just got to believe it. And so then the picture was painted out back there to our first father and mother. And they fell, and that broke off relationship with God and was drove from the Garden of Eden. From that hour, God began to scream up and down the gardens hunting for his lost child. And then the only way that God then could ever redeem him would have to be to come down and redeem him himself. Not send somebody else. He couldn't send an angel. That wouldn't be right. But the only way God could redeem the man was come down himself and redeem it. If somebody sins here and I was a judge of this group of people, and I had the jurisdiction over you all, and if someone sinned, and I said, now, Brother Grimm, I want you to pay the price, that wouldn't be just. If I said for my own boy to pay the price, that still wouldn't be just. The only way that I could be just is for me, myself, to take his place. And what I want to pass the judgment, and then if I want to redeem the man, I've got to take his place myself. Are you still listening at me? Now look, I want you to notice something. Then, when the only way that God himself could ever redeem this man was to come down and take his place. And that was the law that was given by Moses of redemption, that it had to be through a kinsman redeemer. A man first who was worthy. A man who was worth the price. A man then who would make a public testimony and redeem the lost estate of somebody that had fallen. And then God was worthy. He came down some 1900 years ago in the form of a baby born in a manger, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Not born, but sexual desire. He was God. God's blood was in him. The baby is always the blood of its father, never of its mother. We all know that. I've taught that before here in times, and you know that the baby has not one speck of its mother's blood in it. Not a bit. No, nothing does. It's always the blood of the male. A hen can lay an egg, but if it isn't fertile, it'll never hatch. No matter how pretty the egg is and how well she warms it, it'll always be unfertile. It'll lay right there and rot. That's right. Unless the male bird has been with the female bird and the germ of life comes from the male. Therefore, when Mary, knowing not a man, she was with the male God, the Almighty Jehovah, and he overshadowed her, and God is the creator that created a blood cell in the womb of Mary, knowing no man at all, and that brought forth the very creative blood of God to redeem us from our life coming in here, being born of sexual desire. And then that blood was drawn out of Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross, and today has the same saving, redeeming, holy power that it did the day the transfusion was made out of Calvary. You believe it? Amen. Amen. Now, that's right. We're redeemed by the blood of God. The Bible says we are bought by the blood and redeemed by God's own blood. How was it God's blood? God has no blood. How could it be? Because it was God's creative blood that he created in order to redeem us and came and lived in the same body that he created. Therefore, he could not, God had to suffer temptation. He could suffer temptation. He had to suffer sexual temptation. He had to suffer all kinds of temptation, to be tempted by the devil and riches and powers and dominions and so forth. He had to suffer all of that. In order to do it, he couldn't be as God in spirit. He had to be God in flesh. Now, I'm speaking this morning on the deity of Christ, so that you'll know who he is that we're worshiping today. Not a baby in a manger or not Santa Claus, but we're worshiping Almighty God in the deity of his Son. And notice then that blood came down, and it was Christ Jesus. And God himself, coming out of spirit, went into Christ Jesus, and the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Is that right?
That's right.
God himself, Jehovah, lived in Christ and was made a kinsman to us because he was born in human flesh like we are. Is that right? The blood cells were developed by God, and the flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary that brought forth the child, and God came down and lived in human flesh and was tempted in every manner just like we are. Do you believe that?
Right.
All right. Now, then when he did that, he freely gave his blood. He didn't have to do it. He made that sacrifice. He could have went right on up into glory. He could have been transfigured like he was on Mount Transfiguration, went on into heaven, and never died for us. But to be willing to die for us, he gave freely his blood at Calvary. That's right. And he picked out, he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And he made a public testimony in the book of Ruth. There's a very beautiful picture there. How that Boaz, type of Christ, how that Ruth went over in a strange country as a backslide and went out of the land and brought back with her, Naomi, and brought back Ruth. And when Ruth came back, she was of the country of Moab. And when she came back, she was a Moabite. Absolutely a picture of the Gentile bride of the church. And when she went to leave Naomi told her, said, kissed her and told her to go back to her people. She said, I will go with you to your people. Let your people be my people. And let your dwellings be my dwellings. Let your God be my God. And nothing but death shall separate us. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Now that's a picture of the Gentile church coming into Christ, because we were once aliens away from God. Only the Jews was the ones to be saved, but we being dead in Christ take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. And Christ got a Gentile bride. That's exactly right. Now, in order to redeem Boaz, to redeem Naomi's lost estate, that was the backslidden state of Israel, then Boaz had to come out, and when he did, when he came out, he had to kick off his shoe before the gates, before the elders, to make a public testimony that he had redeemed that lost woman and her estate. And in doing that, then he bought back also, he got in there his bride, the woman he is looking for. He had to redeem the woman first in order to get the bride, don't you see? And that's the same thing Christ did. He made a public testimony at the gates of Jerusalem when he was beaten, smitten, afflicted, and was led up Calvary's Golgotha's hill and bathed the hill with his own blood as a public testimony that he had redeemed all the fallen estates from back down in the beginning and has redeemed his people from the curse of sin and from the clutches of hell. and knowing that she would need something more in the last days than what she's got now, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will abide with you forever. A little while the world sees me no more, but I'm going up to heaven to get this thing fixed up, and I'll come back and be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. That's what I'm talking about. You still hear me? Say amen. That's right. That's what I'm speaking of now. It's him coming again in his power. Ages has flowed on. Oh, who is he? My, this morning you think of some little object of worship, some little manger out there, some little that. I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of Christ, the hope of glory in our hearts this morning by the Holy Ghost. That's right. Oh, condemned by the world. God has always come into the world. What he did, the world hated him as it was in the days of Noah. So will it be in the coming of the Son of God. We're in that day, friends. And now notice, a little while the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you even in you, even to the end of the world. That's right, he's here now. And in the days how his big picture always revolved up and made the same thing come to pass that we're seeing now, the great drama set, and we're ready now to see great things happen. The church has been brought from the cradle. That's right. Pentecostal rocked it down yonder a few years ago back there while the people threw stones and made fun and laughed at. But she grew to maturity now. That's exactly right. Now we're here. That's right. That's what I'm interested in, to see God's church coming together now. We've been beat out here and beat out there, but the hour's coming when God's throwing the blanket around us all to draw us in. For the enemy's at the gate. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He said enough for his people. Daniel said the great things of the last days when these things come to pass. My, the great exploits will the people and the man of faith will do. And that day and the hour has come now that when the great drama picture of God set forth on the latter rain, Joel said, in the last days this shall come to pass, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaids and maidservants will I pour out of my spirit, and I'll show signs in the heaven above, and signs in the earth below, and pillars of fire and vapor of smoke. This shall come to pass before the great terrible day of the Lord shall come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said in there, these things that I do, you shall do in greater than this, for I go unto my Father. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Here's what he said in there. And the word back there said, if ye abide me, and my word abide you, ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. A few years ago, the people around here said, you people up there, that tabernacle is holy rollers. You're all this, that, the other. You're crazy. But oh my, we stood on that what was true.
Even in you to the end of the age. Christ in the manger? No! Christ in you!
And today, that's what
what it is. They think it's a little church joining or something like that. But that is the God, the Creator, living in you and giving you all the powers. And you're in possession of anything that He has. So is it in you to abstain from evil, to do good, to shun evil, and flee to righteousness, to turn away from temptation, all malice, hatred, strife, envy, and so forth. Turn away from it. For that'll take Him from your heart if you will receive Him, embrace Him, and love Him, and hold Him in your heart, and love Him. I tell you, the church together, and that kind of a power has the power to bind the heavens, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking of the deaf here. The cripples walk, the blind see. Why? It's recognizing the power of Almighty God into your heart. There He is, the deity. You love Him. The word of the Lord said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Dear brother, sister, if you haven't caught the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, run into the kingdom of God as quick as you can. The sealing time is on. The enemy's coming like a flood. He's raising a standard against it. The drama set. The church is going home. It's as church as anything. You haven't got all the ways to wait, friends. You haven't got all the time to wait. You better come now. You better make it today. That's right, while today is today, make it now. Remember, friends, it may seem strange. The religion of Christ never was popular. It's always been unpopular. The religion of God, because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has all the governments. Every government is controlled by the devil, according to the Bible. The devil said it was. That's right. He controls all the governments. And then the Bible says, rejoice, all you holy angels and you saints upon the earth, for the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. And of His Christ, and He shall reign. Satan took Jesus up on top of the mountain, showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, said, these are all mine, and I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, get thee in, Satan. That's right. He wasn't caring. He said, my kingdom of this world, I could call her legions of angels, but my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is in heaven. And He said, the kingdom of God will be within you. So therefore, the legions and powers and the backing of the holy angels, hallelujah, is in you this morning by the deity of Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Who are you this morning? Who is Christ Jesus? He's in you as much as you'll let Him be. He's presently trying to get into you, to move into you today, and you stand off and wonder and look and gaze and hold back a little while. Don't do that. Move right straight into the kingdom of God. The hour is here. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Him. He's coming one of these days. I want to see Him, don't you? I want to see Him. I believe we will see Him, don't you? He's here now. His power is moving. What makes the people cry and shout? Go on. What's the matter? Is the Holy Ghost moving in them? If they could only realize and embrace Him. Embrace the Holy Ghost. Believe Him. Hug Him to your bosom. Live right. Do nothing that would hinder Him. Say, oh Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you to stand by me. I'm going to stand by you, Father. And as you do, He is just pressing to get into you. He wants in there. He's wooing you to Him all the time. I pray God knows this to be the truth. I know people don't realize who you are. Every person here can live above sin. Can live without sin. Living God, you'll make mistakes. But the blood of Christ will forgive you, Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that right? Amen. That same power of Christ that was hung on Calvary's cross, the same God that raised Him up on the day of the resurrection, is in you now. You that got the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't you love Him? Oh, my. Hear His voice calling today. Move Him up to your close bosom and say, or close into your bosom, and say, now, Lord Jesus, I've been a little different, but this Christmas day I realize who you are now. I once worshipped you as a little baby in a manger. I seen you back out as a little bitty fella 1900 years ago, and I thought, oh, if I could have went up to Jerusalem. Today, they're getting past and everything to go up to the cradle, up to the place where He's born, the same manger. But friends, it's not up there where He was born. It's right here where He was born. God has brought Him down to every one of us, and His living being is living in us. Oh, the Creator, the thing that created the world and created the heavens, created the earth, created man, is right in every individual. It's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. That's the thing. That's the secret. Receive the Holy Ghost. He's in you. He's the hope of glory. And look here, in the Old Testament, as I've referred to it many times, when the contract was made, it was torn apart over a dead beast body. And those two contracts had to be come together. That contract had to dovetail one with the other. And today, God made a contract. Not because you were good. Not because you joined church. Not because because you've been a good rank in society, you can be ever so good. You can live a clean life. You can go to church every day. You can sacrifice every day. You can give a part of your money. You can give up all the sins of the world and everything and live just as true and faithful as you can, and you'll miss heaven just as far as east is from the west. That's right. It isn't by goodness that we are saved, but it's by His mercy that we are bought. That God wanted to make sons and daughters. Goodness never makes them. The Spirit of God makes them. If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have had to send the Holy Ghost. How could the Holy Ghost be complete? How could the contract be complete? Jesus said, I'll go away, yet I'll come again and be with you, even in the pray the Father, and He'll give you the Holy Ghost. He will abide forever. And people put their name on church books, try to turn a new page on Christmas Day, try to walk down to church and pay a few tributes to the manger back there. When the Holy Ghost pushing in everywhere, and the world got into a blind, they walk around, they, well, that's a bunch of holy rollers, just like it was in the days of Noah. So is it now. The coming of the Son of God going on. That's right. And only those who are charged by the Holy Ghost, who have immortal life living in them, the Holy Ghost, that's the type that's going to be drawn from here. That's as certain as anything. There was something other about that little ark in the days of Noah that floated on top of water. It was a drawing power from above. There was a light in the top. Let the glory of God shine from heaven upon that body. And I'll tell you today, friends, hear my word. There's a drawing power, not from the church, not from the pastor, but from glory. The pastor, the Holy Ghost, moving down in that light chamber to draw the church. What is it? The power of God, the access to His life. Zoe, these things that I do, shall you do also? Greater than this shall you do. He was persecuted, laughed at, made fun of, and died and went in the grave. But He was true. He had the Spirit of God in Him, and God raised Him up. If we go the same way, so shall we cannot. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still hear me? You love Him? You love Him with all your heart? Isn't He wonderful? Oh, my eyes, seen, ear, has heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't He wonderful? Wonderful. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, Jesus, I'm looking forward for a great hour. I see it coming. I see there's no hope nowhere else. I see the age of moving up. I see the great red lights of communism swaying around over the earth. I see the formal churches taking a standard against your church, trying to condemn them, saying divine healing's wrong. It's a bunch of fanaticism. A bill in our own White House to close it down. Oh, but God, the other day sitting there and seeing those saintly people, all illuminated with the power of God, looking up on their faces and seeing the glory of God, they can be like the Hebrew children of the fiery furnace. We'll never bow down. No, our God's able to deliver us. You'll come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I see the hour setting in when the form of godliness the people had, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, you said. The Spirit speaking for the last days. And here we are in that day today. Here's our little church sitting here, Lord. Men and women who I believe love you. And I pray, God, that that Spirit that's still in their hearts days gone by will now come deeper and more. May they lay aside every malice, every strife, everything that's unlike it, and move up today, not to the manger, but to Calvary. Not as altogether to Calvary, but to Christ, the hope of glory, the deity of God, the magnificence of God, the power of God that's now in our hearts, trying to draw us out of the things of the world, that He might take us out of this earth someday into a better land. God grant today. Hear the prayer of your servant and speak to the people. If there's any lost in here, any without the Holy Spirit, may they receive of Thee this morning. Grant it, dear God. Lord, we ask it in the name of Thy dear beloved Son, Jesus, who 1900 years ago was born in a manger, who suffered 33 years later at Calvary for our sins, who ascended on the high a few days after that, 40 days later. He was received up into glory. Then 10 days later, come again. In the power of the Holy Ghost, and now living in the church, and soon with that same power that raised Him, the Holy Ghost, in the church to take it out. Oh God, come, will you, and save the church. While we ask it in His name, while you have your hands up, we're going to say, calling today, if there's anyone here without Christ, without God, without hope, will you come now? Calling today. Thank you. something this morning before you send you here. I want you to have your eyes closed. I want you to pull down a curtain and let you look over somewhere. We're going to take a little visit this morning and watch these parties come. I'm going to pull the curtain down. Just for those who sit in the tabernacle, young and old. We're going to look over through the portals of hell for a while this morning. They know down at Christmas time up here. They know what they've done in Christmas time. Some of them drink, some of them run around, some of them church, some walk, some make fun. What if there's three phony brains to get back to this church door? You don't have church that you may be there. You may have been in there a year. Remember, you're dealing with human soul. You're dealing with spiritual things, and each one of you's got the answer at the day of death. I can only be honest. I can only say if you haven't received the Christ this morning, he stands at the open door. He's treating me and you as God the Holy Spirit. Remember, you're going to be judged for what you've done with it. You might have received Christ. How the Holy Ghost will be condemned. Every man is judged according to the work that's done in his body. Have you received the Holy Ghost? What have you done with it? Have you talked about your neighbor? Have you done anything wrong? If you have, remember, I start by having you, man. The Lord Jesus, today, from now on, I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm here, I'm the immortal part of God, the Spirit of God gave me my life. And if I've been wrong in Virginia, she's going to meet that class of people because she is. Now remember, at the side of you, you train yourself for the same call for anything. But she got the best of education. When she's just ready to break through the whole society and go with a different fine class of a man, death suffers suddenly, she has a heart attack. All of her enemies get her real quick, she went somewhere else. Which way are you going this morning? What are you doing this morning? I don't care what kind of groups of life you're going to do, you're going to go into the eternity one of these days. And without Christ, without the Holy Ghost, you're totally lost. Remember that. You cannot be saved only by accepting Christ without the Holy Spirit. And he's in you, he's the power of God. He is God. He's God in you. The Bible says he's done God. And so aren't you all God? Jesus said his prayer to me there. So he made yourself God, but he's a written for all of you, God. He made Moses the God of Pharaoh. And he made Israel the God to the people. That's right. And you just want to worship that Israel God. Your lives are on God. And you just cherish that Holy Ghost stuff, dear friends. Don't let it taste. Don't just let this go by this little mystical something. You need God. We look at all the rest of their lives. Father, we come this morning as your humble children. I realize that we're living in the last hour, closing time. Nothing can happen at any time. Men, women, boys, or girls are without God. And I pray thee, Father, to be merciful. I pray thee to be merciful to those who have received and not realize that you're near in your heart. And realizing the little things of the world do care to that. I pray, God, that every one of you this morning will be really consecrated to you. For how many days to come, we don't know how much longer we're going to wait before you're coming. We need to try to hear. And after a while, people are going to try to get saved. I'm thinking of those young people that night down at the altar crying to be saved, but across the line. No redemption for them, they were gone. Could not be saved. Father, I just pray that you'll bless each one while it is time for salvation. That they will receive it today before we ask for it. Amen. Let's stand. Don't you want to get just a little closer to him, loving just a little bit more? Let's say, I surrender all as we raise our hands to him this morning in tribute. Will you do that? Give us a lead there.
I surrender all your habits, all your ways.
We love you so much, Lord. Some of these days, the trumpet's going to blow. I may be out on the field somewhere. Lord, I'll be thinking about the church then. When the winds begin to howl, the world begin rocking. Some say, what's the matter? Skies are turning red. Judgment hour is near. I'll say, oh, where's Brother Graham? Where's all of his home? But Father, then after a while we'll hear it sound like never before, the trumpet. The angel sounds the trumpet. Oh God, those who have entered the chamber of death shall rise up. How screams will go out. What's the matter with the world? We can't stand still as she's rocking. And then we'll be caught up together to meet in the air. Right? Oh Father, if death shall come to us before that time, I mean natural death of this earth, separation here, may we enter the chambers with a gallant faith, wrapping the robe of Christ around us, the Holy Ghost. Someday we got to come down there, Father. And I realize I got to walk that line too. It's right out there before me somewhere. That hour that I enter that death chamber. When I hear my sentence read, I don't want to go like a coward. I want to go like you have, Lord. Not try to wrap my own robe around, but wrap the robe of Christ, the Holy Ghost, around me. As Paul did, say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Enter that dark chamber among those who are dead, listening then for his voice of the archangel that shall sound and will be called out from among the dead to meet our loved ones again. Oh, Lord, if we miss that life, life did nothing to us. We failed. But if we find him who's precious in our heart, then we found all the purpose of God. Yes. Oh, how we love him this morning. May every Christian this morning see the vision quickly, Lord. The hour is getting late now. And I pray that you'll let him see the vision and take hold of life today and live forever. Yes. While we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You love each other?
Amen.
Turn around, shake hands with each other. Say, God bless you. Christ be with you instead of Merry Christmas. Say, Christ be with you as you turn around. Now don't leave. Just turn around and say, Christ be with you. Christ be with you.
Oh,
now just a moment.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
My Lord, that is 12. Is that your lesson? My Lord, that's when you say you're 12. Amen. Amen. Everybody love the Lord and say praise the Lord. Just not a word, three or four words of testimony. It's like, I love Jesus. Just say it. No more than that with Jesus. That's right. Somebody else.
I love Jesus.